communication and socialization with other people in the community and, you know, with each other. And the staff that I have are excellent. And we do have people that are more than willing to come on board. We would like to include two more people that have become deaf and blind over the years because of age. And that's about it.
This is Karen Olson. Sandy, do you have a proposal of what you would be seeking in terms of, you know, money, finances?
No, I don't. I haven't figured out, this is the first time hearing of this. I thought that we still had funds that were already accrued at the training school, so I didn't know about this. No, I just know that how much they do get paid, and if they could get the services at least once a week, that would be great. And if we could add two other people, so we have four right now, and if we could add two other people, that would be great.
This is Wayne Seidel from DBS. If I could add a little more context, I think this is something that we'll be able to offer more information about at our next meeting. I appreciate Chris bringing it up and introducing the idea, which is really a very old idea. It's not anything new, but it has been, you know, the individuals at Southbury have been receiving the services right along. It's just essentially about how they're funding, and especially as we are looking to expand the amount of individuals at STS receiving those supports, which, you know, I'm hoping we'll continue to work on that and have more news there. You know, we're just ensuring that it's properly funded, and I'll be able to have a more specific outline of what all of that looks like for our next meeting.
This is Kathy Morgan. Sandy, I know that some of the residents at Southbury had been on the original listing for this grant, but thinking of the Southbury clients, I think it would also be appropriate that the BSBE look into the full roster of clients that have been identified, not only Southbury, but also American School for the Deaf, that perhaps there are some clients that could utilize more services, and perhaps there are some clients, as the folks at Oak Hill Age, that may not be applicable for them to use the funding. So could I request that a review of the clients who are receiving the funding through agencies would be updated? Thank you.
This is Karen Olson. I just want to piggyback on that. I know we have at least two, possibly three students who will be graduating this year. And we really need to contact Mary Johns, who works in children's services, for a full list. But I am aware of three people anyway, three students who are graduating. I'm not sure what their plans are, but as far as I know, they will all be staying local.
Lisa Flaherty-Vaughn has her hand up. Yes, hi, Lisa Lardigon here. I have a question for you. I'm sorry for the interpreter. The interpreter's just clarifying. Can you spotlight the interpreter so that I can clarify? Just a moment. Lisa, I missed what you said. Who's the question for? The interpreter doesn't know the sign name. It looks like a J.
I believe it's Jenny.
Jesse, is that Jesse?
Jesse.
Jesse. Thank you.
And what was the question? Pam, did you catch the question?
How many deaf blind students are graduating?
Thank you. So if we could spotlight Jesse. Like his hand is up. Thank you. Okay, yes, Jesse here. Yes, I believe we will definitely be having one student graduating this year. I think there may be one more, but they may be returning in the fall. Thank you. Thanks for your question.
This is Karen. Two of the students I'm referring to are from ASD. And they will be aging out, and they'll be done this spring.
Hannah Tyler here. I would like to see if there are any other questions or comments. If not, we will be moving on.
Kathy Morgan again. I'm not sure whether it needs to be in the minutes or whether I make a motion that I propose that an updated listing be made by the committee, by BSBE, of clients from the agencies who could receive the funding or who no longer. And I'm thinking specifically for Southbury and Oak Hill. Would that need to be a motion, or would that be written up in the minutes as a proposal that would be followed through by Margie or Chris Besby? I guess that's a question to you, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, if certainly we could make, you know, if you'd like to make that motion, we could, you know, follow up. I know that there's some work going on with both Southbury Training School and Oak Hill to provide us with an update. But if you'd like to make that in the form of a motion, we could certainly follow up using that. So it's up to you if you'd like to, you know,
I would like to make that as a motion, that an updated list be made of the clients at Southbury who might receive possible service. Those clients at American School for the Deaf, and for the clients at Oak Hill School.
Great. Is there a second?
This is Karen. I second it.
Okay. Then we can vote.
Hi, this is Sandy Miles again. Am I to put forth a proposal for, I had already sent in paperwork for the two people that I was proposing, but now is this a different situation? Does it have to be voted on by the group? And I'm sorry, I'm babysitting, so I'll try to leave the room. And do I need to, I mean, the update, what does that include? Just the people that are on the list already? They all have numbers and they were already approved. They have been on this list forever.
This is Kathy Morgan again. I think it would be good just to have the referral of the names to BSBY. So just to reconfirm the numbers, I'm thinking of Oak Hill School too. So that we have a clear picture of how many who could possibly receive services through this grant. And Wayne Seidel, I thought I had heard you say that there could be possibly other clients at Southbury.
So this is Wayne. As Sandy reported, there are four currently, and there are two that are in the process. So adding two additional. And, you know, we hope to have that work done before our next meeting and also have more information and more of a clear proposal to share with the group at the next meeting. But exactly what you are saying, you know, I think we're working to do that on the DDS side.
Okay. This is Kathy Morgan again on the proposal. On the motion, I'd like to withdraw the previous motion and use Wayne Seidel's words that we have an updated listing of the clients who might receive possible service through Southbury American School for the Deaf and Oak Hill School, and perhaps CAN, the agency, so we have a clear number for the use of this money.
Yes, I agree with that, but also do I need to put up forth a proposal of how much money we may need?
This is Kathy again. This is just now to have a motion to have an updated listing. Because not referred to the proposal in my mind. I may be incorrect, but this is just for an updated listing of clients who could possibly receive funding through this grant.
If that motion hasn't been seconded, or the revised motion, I will second it. And then I'll also just mention, Sandy, we can connect after this meeting. Our business office handles all of the financial parts, so we will not need to come up with those numbers.
Great. Thank you so much. All right.
Okay. This is Hannah Tyler. If we have a motion in second, may we vote, and Chris Lafton can go through the names for this proposal.
If you would like a roll call, Sandra, yes. Miles, Sandra Miles.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. Wayne Seidel.
Yes.
Thank you. Our Oak Hill representative, I'm not sure we still have somebody on, but is
yes,
Abigail?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you, Abby. So you're voting in favor, okay?
Yes.
Jesse Stanley?
Yes.
Hannah Tyler?
Yes.
Lisa Flaherty Vaughn.
Yes.
like to be excused.
Barbara Clunan?
Yes.
Okay. Karen Olson?
Yes.
Kathy Morgan?
Yes.
Christine Telfer?
Yes.
And Cherry Burns?
Yes.
Great. Okay. So it's
Telford asking a question. Am I a voting member?
Yep. Oh, I'm sorry. You're listed as a voting member.
I thought it was more of like a member at large from an organization.
Well, I mean, we have, but we can review, I guess, okay. Here at Besby internally, you know, but we do have, let's see. Yes. Those that I named, which, let's see, I believe that's 11 members. We've lost two voting members recently, our Demas representative and then our representative from the Besby board. But other than that, we have the 11 that that I mentioned as voting members.
We're switching interpreters, please, if you could spot. Thank you.
Okay, so this is Hannah Tyler. So I see that it has been approved. We voted. That's good. So we may move on. And next on the agenda, we have report from CAN on SSP's recruitment. May I have a report on that?
So this is Margie. So Sue Pedersen from CAN is not here to give that report.
All right, right. Okay. Well, the next thing we did was update on development of contracts. I know we don't have that yet. Next one is report from the chair. Okay, so that's me. A couple things I'd like to share with you. I don't know if everyone knows that I'm an example. I have asked for street signs because I walk every day except today. Every morning and every afternoon with my dog. And I have a street sign that I requested from the town. And it says, deaf and blind person walking, or something of that sort. I have one that's 20 feet away in front of my driveway, and then 40 feet away on the other end, so from both directions. That's something that if a person is at a home or wherever they may be living, you can request a sign to alert people that there is a deafblind person so they can be alerted. I especially have a downhill road and people are flying through here in front of my driveway. One sign was stolen the second time, and I requested it. So if you do request, you need to tell them they need to be secured, not with nuts and bolts. But my assumption is teenagers took it off because it was more up further away from my home and there's no light on it. Probably stole it and put it in their room. That's my assumption. But that's an option that one individual can get. You can request it from your town. That's been helpful. The other item I'd like to mention is I came across a company called Raisin, R-E-I-Z-E-N. So like Raisin. It's a company from India that makes all kinds of disability for deaf and blind products, and I had to get a clock from a friend that's been wonderful. If you press the button on top, it speaks to you. You press it once, it says the time. Press it twice, it tells you the day and month. It's wonderful. So that's something that's available out there for individuals. I'm not sure if everyone knows, but they're very helpful. So that's my contribution. Anyone else have, let's see, next thing on would be announcements. Any exciting announcements, please tell us. Now's the time.
Jesse Staley has his hand raised. Hi, this is Jesse here. I have a few things I'd like to mention regarding Hannah and your comment about the products from India, and I just think it's wonderful. But the product that you mentioned about the time, is that really useful for deaf people? And at the American School for the Deaf, we are trying to get a grant that will provide more community access specifically for deafblind. The purpose maybe would be to provide workshops open to the public to learn more about deafblind and our deafblind culture, also to provide interpreter trainings, to provide SP trainings for CAN and so forth. So we've already established an interpreter training for October. So that's been established. It's a 2-day training. So I wanted to make that announcement. And I also am curious. I've noticed there are many apps that are accessible for blind folks from where they live, and also apps that can help explain you know, this is where you were to put your phone, or, you know, there's a text type of app. I'm wondering that also will explain where folks are walking, where they need to turn, and things like that. And I've noticed these speaking apps, I'm wondering if we should push for more accessibility with these apps for deafblind. Also, would this be appropriate? And I'm curious if we should pursue that. And then two more items I'd like to mention. I would like to invite all of you to come to the Deaf Blind Retreat, which we'll be hosting in July. July 11th is a Thursday. We'll have a visitor's day. So I'd like to invite all of you to come to see and experience how we run this Deaf Blind Retreat, which is really great. Open to all of you. And the last thing I wanted to mention is this year, starting in the spring, we'll be working on establishing a revised biking program and going to different parks, different places, and trying to bike our way through these different areas and parks. I have yet to set this date up, but I will be doing that as soon as possible and let you all know when that will be happening. And I am now done with mentioning all the things I wanted to mention in terms of announcements. Thank you.
So this is Margie. So thank you, Jesse, for that. I just wanted to clarify that our agency is an agency that serves everybody on the deafblind spectrum. So that could be somebody who has Usher's type 1, Usher's type 2. They could have charge. They could have any myriad of different types of disabilities. But thank you very much, Hannah, for that information, because there are a lot of my clients that are considered deafblind. They do not use sign language. Some of them use Braille to communicate. They don't have any type of other language. So I just wanted to let that be known that it is, this agency is to serve everybody along, you know, amongst the spectrum of deaf blindness, not just those who only sign, but this is for everybody. So I just wanted to clarify that. And thank you again, Hannah, for that information.
This is Cherry, if I can make a comment. I wanted to make an announcement. Our Deafblind agency in Connecticut, we're going to be having a workshop between the Agency for the Deaf and RID, the Registry of Interpreters for the Deaf. We're going to be hosting that workshop next spring. When we get that new information, more detailed information, we'll let you know of that as well. So yeah, I'll share that information about that training workshop with you all. Thank you.
This is Kathy Morgan. Thank you to Sherry and Jess. I like the idea of you having these workshops and probably suggesting ideas that you might ask vendors in or folks from the neat marketplace at Oak Hill or Besby who might have some of the equipment and also the assistive technology that you might show and tell when you do have your workshops to for kind of a hands-on time to see what's out there and try what might be available. Thank you.
Christine speaking. Hi, from Helen Keller National Center. I just want to piggyback off of Jesse's comment about accessible apps. Helen Keller National Center has the Technology Research Innovation Center. We call it TRIC, T-R-I-C. And we do that, essentially. So, Jesse, if you'd like to partner with HKNC, we can, like, show you or introduce you to people that develop apps, and you can give them feedback. Like, use our existing relationship. We're happy to share it.
So this is Margie. I have a question, Christine. So for somebody to use that particular like trick, what would they do to get those apps, or how would they partner with you? Is it individuals, like individual consumers, that I can give them your information, or is it something else, like a, where it has to go like through a workshop?
So Christine speaking. TRIC is just an innovation center and research center, so anyone can reach out to us. If they want specialized training on apps, technology, something that's very focused on like the Focus 40 Braille display, then that would be like an application process to go on campus to get in-person training. But otherwise, it's an information research center. Like we share information. Scott Davert, D-A-V-E-R-T. His sign name is this. I don't know if anyone knows who he is, but he's deafblind and he runs that research center. So I can put anyone into contact with him and he can share his network.
Okay, thank you very much.